Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be here with you until 2 o'clock, and really enjoyed the message there, talking about Calvinism and the Bible with Brother Maletti just before us, filling in for Pastor Lutz on the program just before us, and that was a good study. Appreciate that. And we're going to get into a couple of things here as well this afternoon that hopefully be a blessing and encouragement to you. And just a reminder, you can also give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we get you on the the radio here this afternoon. And let's see, I was going to go ahead and open in a word of prayer and then mention a couple things, and I got one topic I want to get into right away as well. So let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the radio here today. We just pray that you would bless our time. Pray that you would just help us to be a blessing, encouragement to believers. Help us to point unsaved people to Christ, Lord. There's one that's searching. I pray you'd use something we talk about today to help help them understand the truth of the gospel message, that they could put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, we just thank you again for all you've done for us. Blessed now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I wanted to mention, too, before I get into stuff, that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find our past programs there. I know a lot of times people try to stay up for our Sunday night program, because we're on, of course, here every Friday at 1:30, but also Sunday night from 1 o'clock, or 1 o'clock, that would be late, from 11 o'clock until midnight. And sometimes people stay up for part of that and fall asleep before midnight. You can check those programs out if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also go online and on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and follow us at Live with Pastor Al. That's just facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find us there. I try to put a number of items up there from time to time that you can find, and that hopefully be an encouragement to you, and just some news items, also some things that we've looked at from time to time on the radio program here. And wanted to mention one thing here as well, kind of a relatively breaking story. Earlier this morning, our time, or late last night, our time, depending on how you look at it. But over in Israel, there were two Israeli policemen killed in Jerusalem. Three gunmen, at least, have been killed that were responsible for that. So certainly pray for the people there in Jerusalem. It just seems like every week there's something that comes up, and it's a dangerous times in which we live, and a lot of these things are only going to get worse as we get closer to the return of Christ. But so certainly pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I also wanted to remind you, too, that you can visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. We'll have some more information about that given at the end of the program. And if you like talking about the current events in light of God's Word like we do on the radio, or just asking questions they occur to you, or whatever, things that are been bothering you maybe for a period of time, and the radio is too short a time, or you just don't want to call into the radio program, you can visit us for our Friday night Bible study. This is what we do on Friday night. We just talk about current events in light of God's Word, ask questions about the Bible, and we just go through them. And obviously, We have a lot more time on Friday night at our Bible study. That starts at 7 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's in Richfield, Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. We're easy to get to. We're right off from both the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77. In fact, the room that we meet in there at the Holiday Inn Express, you can see the toll booths from the turnpike right there. That's how close we are. So if you have more questions or would like to come out and visit us, we'd love to have you here on a Friday night. Well, I also want to mention East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you give them a call at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. And you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And that's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. All right. Well, getting all that out of the way there, want to mention here something. I'm reading a book right now called Which Bible Would Jesus Use? The Bible Version Controversy Explained and Resolved by Jack McElroy. And it's a good book. Some of you may remember he was on the program with me a few weeks ago, about a month or so ago. We were talking a little bit about it and some things, but there is something in the book that I read that kind of resonated with me. I read it aloud to my wife, and she was astounded by it, and I've shared it with a couple of other people. This, to me, explains a lot of things, because, you know, there's this attack upon God's Word, and it goes even beyond whether we should use the King James only, or the English Standard Version only, or the original Hebrew and Greek only, or whatever. And this goes to the very heart of God's Word itself. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me just read a verse here, actually a couple verses, starting verse 16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, that's an important statement. There's other passages in the Bible talking about the inspiration of God's Word. I mean, throughout the Old Testament, you see things like, "Thus saith the Lord," and that's an indication of the inspiration of God's Word. Even Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, keep in mind, he had just recounted his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he saw Jesus transfigured, and he heard the voice of God the Father speaking, and he said, "I got something that's better than my memory of those events." He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, these are good passages here, which Timothy and Peter wrote about, and according to both Timothy and Peter in their writings, they were writing what God gave them to write. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, this tells us that God spoke through these people, and he wrote his word through these people. That's not just Timothy and Peter. That also applies to Moses and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Hosea and Micah and John and Luke and Matthew and Mark and Jude and you know, Zechariah, all these different ones that God spoke through and recorded the Scriptures. Now, I'm saying all that because I read this excerpt from a book. There's a guy by the name of Daniel Joseph Mullane, and he wrote a book called The Bible, Word of God or Words of Men, Truth versus the Myths of Christian Fundamentalism. Now, that title alone is enough to get my attention on a couple of levels. One, he says, the Bible, Word of God or words of men? Now, that's a good question. So far as that goes, that's a great question. What is the Bible? Is it the words of God or the Word of God, or is it the words of men? In other words, is it true that holy men of old, you know, or holy men spake as, or holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost? Is it true that Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Or are they the words of men? Now, that would have been great if he'd have dealt with that. But then the subtitle here, Truth versus the Myths of Christian Fundamentalism. Now, that really got me thinking, because when it comes to Christian fundamentalism, I would have to say that I are one, because, you know, a fundamentalist is one who believes the basic tenets, the basic positions of whatever you're a fundamentalist of. And a fundamentalist Christian would believe the basic tenets of Christianity. And of course, those tenets would be, amongst other things, the fact that God exists. Obviously, if I didn't believe God exists, I would not be a Christian fundamentalist. That's a pretty fundamental truth. If God doesn't exist, then why am I here? Why am I doing this? Obviously, I believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, if I did not believe that, I would not be a Christian fundamentalist. I heard Brother Mileti reference the Jehovah's Witnesses and their rejection of the deity of Christ. That's why Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christian fundamentalists. They might call themselves Christians, but they're really not. I guess if we want to be charitable, we could call them Christian revisionists, because they have taken the teaching from the Bible that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and they've changed that, they've revised that, and said that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel. And that's a false teaching. So they are not Christian fundamentalists. And, well, I don't think they're Christian in the first place, but they're not Christian fundamentalists. A Christian fundamentalist believes that Jesus is God in the flesh. There's a number of other things. A Christian fundamentalist believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that's good. A lot of people believe that Jesus died on the cross, but a Christian fundamentalist also believes that Jesus rose again from the dead. We believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are some people who call themselves Christians who believe that Jesus died, but they don't believe that he rose from the dead. They're not Christian fundamentalists. There are some people who believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, but they're not fundamentalists in the sense that a Christian fundamentalist also believes that what Christ accomplished on the cross is he shed his blood and died to pay for our sins, that he paid for all of our sins. When he said it is finished, it is finished. He paid the price. He paid for all of our sin. And of course, that would rule out the Roman Catholic Church as being Christian fundamentalists, because they believe that he made the down payment. He paid for your original sin. He made a deposit. You know, if you want to look at it this way, I remember reading a book where a former priest, he said, he described it this way. He said, Jesus deposited grace in the bank in the bank of heaven, or whatever it was he said. And the priest makes withdrawals whenever you sin. In order to make sure you can go to heaven, you have to go to the priest, and by giving you penance, you're making withdrawals of God's grace to cover your sin. Oh, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that by his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood, he paid for all of our sins, and it was finished. And there's one sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father and making intercession for us as his children. When we sin, yes, his grace is there, but he says, hey, you're forgiven. Romans chapter 3 says that when we trusted Christ as our Savior, he literally put his righteousness on us. A cloak of God's righteousness is on us. So when God looks at us, he sees us as being justified, as it says there at the end of Romans chapter 3, and he sees not our righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but instead he sees the righteousness of God himself on us. And so he no longer sees us as sinners. He sees us as his children, redeemed and justified and covered with his righteousness. And so these are things that we believe, but the fundamental, in addition to all of these things, there's many more that we could talk about. We could talk about heaven and hell. We could talk about other things. But for time's sake, I want to get back to this one quote here. And we talk about the myths of Christian fundamentalism. So he's implying that if you believe what the Bible says, and you consider yourself a Christian fundamentalist, you're believing in myths. And so this implies in his book that he's going to rescue the truth from the myths of Christian fundamentalists. And this explains a lot why so many people who call themselves Christians, so many pastors and clergy members who wrap themselves not up in the robes of God's righteousness, but in the robes of man's making, and stand in pulpits on Sunday mornings, and they proclaim various messages and all for their flocks, but they do not believe in the fundamentals of the Word of God. They do not believe that you must be born again. They do not believe that a holy God cannot allow sinners into heaven. And there's many things that they reject, but yet they call themselves Christians, and they claim that they love the Lord, and they claim that they're serving God. Say, well, how can they do that? Well, this actually gives us some insight. It's because they do not fundamentally believe the Bible is what it says that it is. Now, keep in mind, I said before, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. They do not believe that the way that Paul stated it. Paul stated all scripture given by inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed it out through these men. The reason different writings look a little bit differently is because it's the human instruments that God used. If you think about it, think about musical instruments, and think in particular about the type that you blow into, because we have this idea of all scriptures God breathed, given by inspiration, talking about or related to breath or breathing. And think of it this way. If I was a musician, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not. I tried a variety of instruments over the years. I've tried violin, piano, saxophone, the flutophone we had to play in grade school, and I think there was another one in there somewhere. I never got past three blind mice. Mary Had a Little Lamb. Three blind mice was always too tough for me. I could never master three blind mice, so, you know, I realized music wasn't my career, but if I was a musician and I decided that I wanted to play a song, you know, I was going to play, if I mastered three blind mice, if I played three blind mice on a piano, or, well, I want ones that you breathe through, on a saxophone, since I tried that at one time, it sounds distinctly different than if I played it on, say, a trumpet or a trombone or an oboe or a tuba or a piccolo or a flute, or a French horn, or, you know, you can go on and on, but you get the point, I hope. The instrument shapes the sound, but it's me, the musician, that's breathing out through the instrument that determines the note, the tempo, the volume, and all of these things, and the tune, the melody, all of that is determined by me. And that's like God speaking through people. He picked up certain individuals. He picked up certain holy men of God, and he moved them by his Holy Ghost, his Spirit, to speak by inspiration of God the words that we have recorded in this book we call the Bible. And so that's why it's the same author, But, God breathing out through his Spirit through various men in order to give us the words that he wants for us. But this is what Mullane says in his book, The Bible, The Word of God or Words of Men. He says this, "This work reviews the findings of modern Bible scholarship today, weighing the facts we know to be true against the Bible, against the claims made by its Christian fundamentalist adherents." So in other words, against the things that I just said. Now, let me just give you another verse here before I read a little bit more. I was reading in Proverbs, two verses in Proverbs, they're right next to each other. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5 says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." And then in the next verse, verse 6, he says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth." Now, here's what he says. He goes on to say this. He says, "Can the Bible be used as a basis that billions of people who follow other faiths will go to hell forever because they had not made Jesus their Lord and Savior? Remember, Jesus Christ said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, let me repeat that again, no man come to the Father but by me.' The Bible also says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So now keep that in mind. Can the Bible be used as a basis that billions of people who follow other faiths will go to hell forever because they had not made Jesus their Lord and Savior? Is the Bible the one and only Word of God? Or do the scriptures of other world religions have an equal standing? Goes further. The original autographed copies have been lost or destroyed. We do not have the original manuscripts. Well, that is true. And the ones that we have, or we do have, do not agree with each other. Well, the 1% or so of the manuscripts that underlie the modern versions of the Bible are grossly in disagreement with each other, but the vast majority of the manuscripts that underlie the King James Version of the Bible are in almost complete agreement with each other. And he says, in light of these facts, how can we honestly believe that the New Testament is the inerrant, inspired Word of God? Makes you kind of wonder. And then he says this, since it has been established that our Bible is not inerrant and infallible, it follows that our scripture is not greater than those of other religions, and our scripture does not contain the only true way to God. So Mr. Mullane basically is teaching here things that he's imbibed from modern Bible scholarship, that when the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's not. That's simply not true. That holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost is not true. That when Jesus Christ himself said that he was the only way, the only truth, and the only life, that all men must come to the Father through him, he wasn't saying the truth. See, they do not believe that even, now see, they would argue, well, the manuscripts that we have are in disagreement, they're in error, and modern scholars have to sort this out. My friend, they don't even believe the originals were correct. When you read some of their writings, they believe that Matthew may have quoted from flawed sources. Mark may have been mistaken about some of the things that he wrote about. Luke didn't know some of the geography of the things that he wrote about. That's nonsense. Well, the problem is, people like Mr. Mullane, Proverbs 25:14 says, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds with and wind without rain." They're not productive. They're not productive. It's a dry season, and they're looking, the clouds coming in, and the wind springs up, and they think the rain's coming that can water the crop and bring forth a harvest. And these people come in with these sweeping statements that they're going to sort out the Word of God and tell us what truth is. And then they end up denying the very Scriptures. Well, Paul warned us about that again. He said here in 2 Timothy 3, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, And he continues on, and then he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's the warning there. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A faithful witness, the Bible says, will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Turn to the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. Believe it, and then act upon it. Trust Christ as your Savior, and then read the Word of God that you can grow. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.